Okay, can we be on our feet? Bless you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands and as we bless the Lord this hour? We bless you, Lord. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. He is our God. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is our God, our rock, our defense, our fortress. He is our God, the glory and the lifter of our head. He is our God, our refuge and our fortress. He is our God, the one who never leaves nor forsakes us. He is our God, the one who is ever faithful, who never disappoints. Lift your hands as we sing. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
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 Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
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 Hosanna. Hosanna.
Oh,
blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Oh Lord,
blessed be the name of the Lord.
All glory,
glory, glory to the Lord.
All glory,
glory, glory to the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hosanna.
Yeah.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed be
the name of the Lord.
Oh,
Hosanna,
oh,
Hosanna, Hosanna,
blessed
be the name of the Lord.
This hour, I want us to read Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22, and it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Because his compassion fail not. See, coronavirus is very real. I met with someone this week who said, he used to say that, oh, this thing is not real, it's not real. No, she used to say, she said, until the uncle died. Said, all of a sudden it was like malaria. Then it turned to fever. Then, before you know it, the man started bringing out blood. So it was when he died, the test arrived that it was actually coronavirus positive. You see, now you are moving around in the midst of this thing does not mean that it doesn't exist. But for a lot of us, God knows, even we don't have the means to go to the hospital. Even now, I hear to even go to isolation center, you need connection. To get even tested done, you need connection. But when you look at it, it's like there are two words. You are moving around. And you are even doubting whether the thing is in existence or not. His Bible says, it is by the Lord's mercy we are not consumed. You know what? There are things that are consumable, consuming things. And you can, it could have consumed you. But by the mercy of the Lord, you and I have not been consumed. It will be ingratitude and a sign of ungratefulness if we don't acknowledge it. So I want you to lift your hands with me. Those of you are here and anywhere you are. And say, Lord, I acknowledge this day that it is by your mercy that I and my household have not been consumed with the ravaging evil of this season. For this I have come to give you thanks. Can we lift our hands and thank the Lord? Lord, I acknowledge this day that it is by your grace and your mercy that I have not been consumed by the ravaging, venomous evil that is moving around in this season. Oh God, thank you that for me and mine and all that concerns me in the ministry, biological, all, I acknowledge this day that it is by your mercy that we have not been consumed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. We bless your name. Lift your hands, lift your voice everywhere you are and acknowledge it. Those who have died are not better than you and I. And we're not better than them.
For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. Oh, you are the Lamb upon the throne. Oh, Father, unto you we lift our voice in praise. You are the Lamb upon the throne. Can we say, for you are glorious, for you are glorious, and worthy to be praised, worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb, upon the throne, upon the throne, and unto you, and unto you. I lift my voice in praise. You are the Lamb, the Lamb upon the throne. Can we sing one more time? For you are glorious.
For you are glorious
and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb, the upon the throne, and unto you, and unto you. Oh, I lift my voice in prayer. Oh, you are the Lamb upon the throne.
Then the second verse says, because his compassion fail not. There is hunger in the land. Coronavirus came with the spirit of poverty.
That's true, sir.
I saw a video this past week of a teacher that was crying. I'm sure some of you will have seen that video. My church man doing a recording and busting out in tears. Help all teachers. Help all teachers. Teachers are suffering. One of our members said, the mother said, when I visited, said, oh, the man was came. He said, I'm a teacher. I have not eaten. We are hungry. Then somebody else was owing rent. He said, we cannot even pay now. So if you have food to eat, it's because it's compassion, fear not. It's not, you see, now this is where you know those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Even without job or with job, without money or with money, you are still being sustained. It's because his compassion fail not. I want you to lift your hands with me once again. Say, Father,
Father,
I thank you. Because in this season,
your compassion
has not failed in my life. I thank you. Oh, for the flow, for the continuous flow of your compassion towards me this season. I've come to give you thanks. Can you lift your hands and lift your voice and bless his name? Thank you for your continuous flow of compassion towards me in this season. I thank you because your compassion failed not. You daily load me with benefits. You daily load me with benefits. You sustain me. You provide for me. I thank you. 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 Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. First and foremost, I want you to know that nobody ever knew such a season like this would ever come in the history of man. So by your own might, you cannot fight this season. There is nobody that is in this, existing in this generation that can say that he has witnessed such a thing like this before. All those who witnessed, maybe the one or the other one that have passed, are all dead. But we are a youth. But let me say to you, you are not going to fight this battle.
Amen.
God is going to fight for you.
Amen.
Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defiled the armies of the living God. Verse 7, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. So when he said, I went after the lion, I collected the sheep from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I grabbed him by the beard. It was as though the lion was just dead. But it's not telling you that the lion actually reacted. The lion also rose up to fight him. But he said, he knew that what was happening was supernatural. He said, the paw of the lion out of the paw of the bear. He said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of this Philistine. You know what? The lion and the bear rose up against him to fight back. But miraculously, David will have wondered, how can I be holding the lion by the beard? Even today, go and try it. You have seen it. I don't do this at all. It's one of those things I would not say, you hold a lion by the beard. A lion, not a, even to hold a goat by the beard is not a small thing.
A goat by the beard. Talk less of a liar. But this account took place, I believe strongly, after David was anointed by Samuel. I don't know whatever you have lost in this season. You have a choice to either let it go or fight to get it back.
Yes, sir.
David could have said, no, I release you to let it go. This morning you are going to pray. Maybe the lion has come to take your health, or the bear has come to eat up your business. Maybe the lion has come to take your source of income, or the bear of this season has come to block your career. If you will go after it, there's an anointing that can help you to recover it. It is left for you to channel the anointing in that direction, or to say, that is it. So this morning, wherever you are, I want to say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Everything that I've lost this season.
Everything that I've lost this season.
Every good thing that I have lost this season.
Every good thing that I've lost this season.
Are you praying? No, tap your neighbor. Say, are you praying? Is this how to pray? Is your neighbor sitting down whilst I'm praying now? Sister, no, tell your neighbor. Oh, why? Sister, I can see a sister in the house there. You are, come on, stand up. You are the one I'm talking about. Stand up. Hey. I said, move around. This is prayer time. I want you to go after the lion and the bear. And take back. A lot of things have been lost in this season, but there are those who are still rising up. You will not count loss when this season is over. Let 1 Samuel 17, 33 to 37 be a reminder to you that what it may look impossible to get your sheep back from the mouth of the lion. Because even when the lion grabs it, you must have squeezed it. You must have squeezed it. Alcohol. And even when the bear grabs it, you must have squeezed it. But supernaturally, I believe that one way or the other, the lion was not able to consume the sheep until David rescued it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It may look as though you have lost it, but it's still there waiting for you to fight back for it. It's just a prayer away. You may not have it as you are there, like your health is deteriorating, it's like your business has gone down, it's like your career is over, it's like your children are suffering. If that is what you are seeing, but I'm telling you, the lion has not eaten it. He's waiting for you to fight it and get it back. This one, I want to fight and get it back. Oh, fight and get it back. Fight and get it back. Because this is the time, this for us to know those who serve God and those who don't serve Him. Hallelujah. Lift your hands everywhere. Say, in the name of Jesus.
Name of
every
Jesus.
Good thing
that
has been stolen from me, that has been destroyed, that has been killed in this season, arise this morning by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I take them back. I recover them. I recover all. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Refuse to be a loser in this season. Refuse to join those who will be counting loss. This is it. Refuse. Refuse it. Refuse it. Refuse it. Refuse it. Recover it. It's just a prayer away. Recover your health. Take your health back. Take your health back. Take your business back. In the name of Jesus. Take your business back. In the name of Jesus. Rapats kita ligata rabayanda. Masheketa subara badoski. Rabalabayanda. Sheketa balabanda. Robedeyanda. Sumpala doske padereya. Mishitasa. Boskatada. Rebadaya. Mandoskaba. Mindereda. Munderaba. Sandereda. Kalibarando. Separabandele. Keta zalida. Rede tarabazata bate kete. Rede de. Whatever you have lost in this season, Whatever has been stolen this season, whatever has been destroyed this season, whatever the enemy has killed this season, the cleaner go after my career. I go after my source of income. I go after my business. And I recover them back. I recover my lost customer. I go after my health. I recover my health. Jesus, I recover them in the name of Jesus. I recover them. I recover them. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it.
Waymaker, miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
My personal waymaker, my personal miracle walker, Lord.
Waymaker, miracle walker, promise.
You are recovering as you are singing this song. You are recovering your health right now. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is flowing to your body. You are recovering your business. You are recovering your job. You are recovering your source of income. Everything that has been dealt with by them, recover it this morning. You are recovering it this morning. Total
recovery. That is who you are.
Come on, say, Waymaker, Lord.
Waymaker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Now, if you feel you have lost something, or something has been taken away from you this season, maritally, spiritually, you can't pray the way you used to pray. You can't fast anymore. You can't pray anymore. Sin has invaded your life. Your health may be degenerating. Your source of income may be gone. If you have lost something this season, place your hand on your chest. I want to pray for you right now. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, today you are recovering it.
Amen.
Father, in the name that is above every name, in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray for your people, those who have lost health, those who have lost source of income, those who have lost business, lost career, those who have lost any good thing this season, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing that made David recover the sheep from the mouth of the lion and the bear, by that same anointing of the Holy Ghost, I prophesy and decree over your people, begin to recover them now.
Amen.
Whatever good thing that you have lost this season, in the name of Jesus, recover them now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, by the matchless name of Jesus, let there be total recovery now.
Amen.
Receive your health.
Amen.
Receive your babies.
Amen.
Receive your business.
Amen.
Receive your career.
Amen.
Move forward.
Amen.
Excel.
Amen.
Do well.
Amen.
Be healed.
Amen.
Prosper.
Amen.
Advance.
Amen.
Go higher.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when this season is over, you will only count gain and not loss.
Amen.
You will count your profit and not loss.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name I have prayed.
Amen.
Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may please be seated. Glory be to God. Wow.
Wow.
Now, before I go further this morning, I would like to take an offering. Whilst we then welcome the anointed voices as they minister to us on their recorded song. We are going higher. Last Sunday, you were not able to see them, but this Sunday you will see them.
First Kings chapter 17, verse 2 to 4 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." This was when there was no rain in Israel. The Lord spoke to Elijah, "Get thee out and hide thyself by the brook of the Cherith, that is before Jordan." Verse 4. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." In this season of global famine, God is still commanding ravens to feed his people. God is still sending his blessing to his people. He said, "I will never leave nor forsake thee." Now, you cannot fight the way the world is fighting. Even though you are in the world, you are not of the world. I will tell you one of the key things you continually need to do to operate under open heaven this season. Number one, never tell yourself that you are too poor to help someone in need. Always open your eyes to locate those in need. Week in, week out, month in, month out, be a blessing to someone. So this morning, everywhere you are, I want to know and believe strongly that God is going to be of great blessing to you this season. So never tell yourself that, "Oh man, I'm too poor to give to a poor person." No. You raise your level from poverty to glory by being a blessing to the poor. And the next thing is, keep supporting the work of God. If you can hear me this morning, you can watch, you are watching me or hearing me, it is because of those who are faithfully supporting the work of God. One of the things that this is trying to reorientate people's mind is that, "Oh, you are not going to the church building, so why should you keep giving? You are a fool if you keep giving. But you are going to the market." And anything that is trying to take the word of God away from the church is of the devil, not of God. So that spirit that says, "Oh, don't give to the church anymore. It's your tithe." It is not. The Bible said that your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So as you give, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Preach. Is it a good message I'm preaching?
Yes, sir.
Those of you are at home, am I preaching a good message?
Yes, sir.
So I want you to tell the devil that this is rather the season I will be more faithful in supporting the work of God. And if you operate, do these things, keep support, helping the poor and supporting the work of God, you will see the ravens will come to feed you supernaturally.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I want you to bring that your offering, your tithe, your offering. Keep tithing. Keep tithing. More than ever before, keep tithing. Keep tithing. So if you want to give your tithe this morning, want to give your offering, now it's time to give. And when I'm taking offering, those of you like to move around and cook when someone is going on, you better stop it now. I can see you spiritually. And sit up well. Service is going on. Tell your children the word when two or three are gathered. Jesus is there in your house right now. Amen.
Amen.
So it's not time to sleep or whatever. Hallelujah. And no, you stand up from your bed and sit up. You cannot be hearing preaching from and try to give offering, bed offering. Is it bed offering you're trying to give? Hey!
Hey!
Let us pray as we give our tithe and our offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for this wonderful privilege to give again this morning. And we thank you because the ravens are being commanded to feed us in this season. We shall not thirst. We shall not hunger. Thank you because we are satisfying our soul in the midst of famine. And we are going to advance and do well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Alright, so quickly I want us to bring the anointed voices to the screen as they come to give us their wonderful ministration. Put your hands together for the anointed voices. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let me reach out. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. In the house. I'm
Amen. Welcome back. I hope you are really blessed by that wonderful anointed voices ministration. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Oh, some of you are still giving offering. Then quickly give, give. Even though the song is over, you can still give. God bless you. You can still give. So far. So far. Are you giving? Do you know so far? So far is a servant. Hallelujah. Amen. Of God. A servant of God. Or a pastor. Or a shepherd. It's a Ghanaian language. Now, I'm going to continue on the subject of the mega church. Say with me, the mega church. And I've shared with you for the past 2 weeks that the key to the mega church, a mega church, is the key of devotion. The key of devotion. Now, I will read Job chapter 8, verse 7 before we do a recap, then move on. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the Eden for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So you realize that God's will is for his church to be big. Everything that God does is big. Everything that God is involved is not small, cannot diminish. Whatever Jesus is involved in ends up becoming big. It may start out with 2, it may start out with 12, but it will end up becoming big. So the will of God for the end time church is to be an influencer church, is to be a mega church. And that is what coronavirus is trying to do. In fact, you would not expect that we'll be preaching on mega church during this kind of a season. It's like it's a taboo to preach on meganess. Because right now, what we should be thinking of is smallness. But we refuse it. The church is going to become bigger. The church is going to become more influential.
Yeah.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I taught you that now there are 3 key words we are looking for the word devotion. The first one is the word dedication. And I share with you there are 3 kind of dedicated Christian, or 3 stages of dedication. Number 1, the deer stage. Number 2, the goat stage. And if you're in a church, and by now you should know where you are and where you need to adjust to. Ask your neighbor, where do you think you have been? Get an answer from your neighbor. So we have the deer stage, those who don't even stay or are safe. The goat stage, those who are highly independent, will do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, no matter even what you preach. When you preach, a ghost statement will say, tell them. And he or she does not see the thing as being applicable to him or her. Then the sheep stage. Now the sheep stage is the blessed stage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The sheep stage is the I shall not want stage. It's what makes the blessings of God flow towards you. Amen. Then I define the second meaning of devotion, which means to be committed, to be a devoted Christian, to be a devoted member of the church. It means to be committed. And there are 4 types of commitment. The first one is fair weather commitment. Those who are only around when things are good, they only want to partake when there is no challenges. They are only there for the good faith, fair weather. So when it rains, you don't see them. When it does not rain, they are there. When there is no floor, when there is food around, they are there. When there is no food, they are not there. Amen.
Amen.
Fair weather are only after good things. Then the next one is situational. Situational are those who are committed based on circumstances. Oh, church are not opening now, so I'm going to just be watching in my house. Or when they relocate, the church is too far, but their working place is not too far. The only place that is always too far to go to after you relocate is the church. But your school is not too far. Your business place is not too far. Your working place is not too far. Because so your friends are not too far to still visit. But your commitment to the things of God is situational. That is not a good type of commitment. Then the next type of commitment is non-situational commitment. Non-situational is not about, is a higher form. But does not still give the totality. Non-situational means that if you offend me, I can still leave the church. Non-situational means, I am in this place, but I can also leave at any time. So it's like someone who has done introductions, like I can still dissolve it and what, just walk away like that. Amen. Then the next type of commitment, which is the highest form of commitment, is the marital commitment, which is what God demands from you and I. And any commitment to the church is actually commitment to Jesus, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not do what? Prevail. Say with me, shall not prevail. Say with me, shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now today we are going to for the last meaning of devotion, which means to be loyal. To be loyal. Now, do you know why cats are not as celebrated as dogs? Because cats are actually not as loyal as dogs. Cats, the major difference between a cat and a dog is that a cat is committed to a place. A dog is committed to a person. Well, find it. So if you relocate from a place, for instance now, and you carry your cat along to the new place, if you don't lock your cat indoor for at least 3 weeks, you may not see that cat again. But a dog, on the other way, as long as he's seeing you, is ever committed to you. So you see that those who are not loyal, for instance, now, the physical church building is not open now, they are committed to the building. So they don't see any reason that God can be in their house, or God is in their house, or their commitment is to the building and not to Jesus. So that's why some have stopped tithing. That's why some cook Sunday morning now. That's why some are sleeping Sunday morning now. That's why some will not even, whilst you are listening to message now, you are still plating your head, doing other things, will not give any reverence. Because you see, your commitment is to the building and not to Jesus. That's the major difference between a cat and a dog. So to be a loyal person means to be a faithful person. Faithful. And this is the principal qualification that God desires from everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 says, it is required in stewardship, in our commitment to God, that you should be found faithful. Now the opposite of loyalty is perfidy or disloyalty. Perfidy means to be a treacherous person, to be a disloyal person, to be a dishonest person. So a perfidious person is a person that is an unfaithful person. Check it out. P-E-R-F-I-D-I-T-Y. Perfidy. Hallelujah. Now, perfidy or disloyalty is one of the major hindrances to church growth, to a mega church. The Lord showed his servant Rick Joyner a vision the other day, and he said he saw demons riding on Christians. They were not in them, but they were on them. And he said one of the sword, in fact the major spear in the hand of this demon, with which they were killing people and destroying the body of Christ, the aim is just to cause division. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. So as these Christians were, as these demons were riding on the Christian, the final quest is a book. He said they were carrying a spear, and that spear is the spear of treachery, the spear of disloyalty, the spear of perfidy. So you know the word, when you see disloyalty, you are seeing a spear that can kill anything. I remember the story of a pastor who traveled and left his assistant pastor behind the church of over 3,000, and he went on an holiday. Before he came back, a church of over 3,000 has reduced to 15 members, not even 100. 15. The assistant pastor, when a disloyal person, when he mounted the stage, just for 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks was all that he needed to destroy a church of over 3,000. And you think most of those sheep will follow him? Most of them will find their way, because sheep don't dig for murky water. So it is the devil's desire for every church not to advance, for every church not to grow. And the major spear the devil uses to cause division, to cause
destruction or to scatter a church is the spear of what? Disloyalty. Or the spear of perfidy. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He said, now I hear, now is come salvation and strength. So anywhere there is disloyalty, there is no more salvation. There is no more strength. There is weakness. Hallelujah, somebody. Another thing I want you to know about disloyalty, I'm giving you some facts about disloyalty, is that the tendency to be disloyal is inherent in every human. The tendency to be disloyal, to be a perfidious person, is inherent in every human, in this flesh, because Adam was disloyal to God. Adam was unfaithful. So if you are in this flesh, the flesh, you must know that everyone in the flesh have the tendency to be a Judas. Have the tendency to be a disloyal person. And always ask yourself that I can easily be a disloyal person, so I must fight it. Oftentimes, those, for instance, during this coronavirus season, some who just say that, oh, it's not real, may end up dying of it. But those who believe that it's real and are taking more precaution are the ones doing the right thing. And I have seen those who say that, oh, me, I can never fall into sin or fornication, or I can never commit adultery. No, you must say that it is possible for me to commit adultery. I remember the story of a 90-year-old man that was asked by a young man that, Papa, Grandpa, when did you stop desiring women? Or when did you stop having sexual feeling? And the Papa asked the boy and said, go and ask your mother. Or go and ask your grandmother. In other words, there is no end to it. What he was trying to say is that I am still feeling, even though I'm 90 years old. So you must tell yourself that, oh, it's possible for me to sleep with someone that is not my wife. It's possible for me to sleep with, fornicate with somebody that I'm not married to. So then what do? Then you build your life in such a way that you guard against such. That is why the Christians actually fall into the sin of immorality that leads to other things more than unbelievers. Because why? They do not guard it. Oh, it cannot happen. But when you think to yourself that this can happen and you don't give room to it, then you are doing the right thing. Amen. John chapter 2 verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And one of the things that is in man naturally is disloyalty. Another thing is that loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. Colossians chapter 4 verse 14 says, look at it now, Colossians chapter 4 verse 14. Look, the beloved physician and demons greet you. So Colossians 4:14, Luke and Demas were greeting people, speaking in tongues, saying I. But by the time you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, the story of Demas has changed. Your whole story will not be like that.
Amen.
Colossians 4:14, Colossians 4:14. Beloved physician Luke and Demas greet you. But 2 Timothy 4:10, look at what has happened. Not 4:19, but 4:10. For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas, who was greeting people, who was going for visitation. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Brother Demas. Is there Brother Demas here?
No, sir.
He didn't come today.
Yes, sir.
Demas, who was going for visitation, winning souls, doing all sorts of things. By 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, he has also left. And that is what we are saying today. Those who used to be loyal Christians, faithful Christians, faithful in tithing, faithful in offering, faithful in going for evangelism, faithful in visitation. And now, because of this season, a lot of them are forsaking the Lord. Some are no longer evil Christians at all. Some are backslidden. Some have stopped paying tithe. Some have stopped giving offering. Some don't even want to hear the name of Jesus. Demons have forsaken me. Loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. So you must guard against it. Are you one of those who have backslidden? You are being restored today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Number three, or which number you have? Full-blown disloyalty doesn't happen overnight. Full-blown disloyalty doesn't happen overnight. What do I mean? It's never a sudden thing. John chapter 12 verse 3 to 7 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment or spike. In John chapter 12 verse 3 to 7, let me just explain to you. This was where Judas began to betray Jesus. Look at what happened there. Verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This is said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bed that was put. Then Jesus said, let her alone against the day of my burial. Had he done this? So Judas did not like the fact that people are coming to spend money on Jesus. So from this moment, he began to think to himself that, oh, he has backslidden. Our man, women are coming now to pour oil and is accepting of prostitutes and giving him up money and is not querying them. So you see, before disloyalty can take place, it often happens in stages and you will always see the signs. If you don't take those signs seriously in your life, you will find out that you end up becoming a disloyal person, but it should never be you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now let's look at three principles of loyalty. Principle number one. Loyalty exposes wrongdoers to the leadership. If you want to be a loyal person, these are the way you should live your life. If you don't want to be a Judas, loyalty exposes wrongdoers to the leadership. I'll read from New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that evil pagans don't do. I am told, look at it now, I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. Now, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church that was in Greece. Greece was another country, it's like Ghana. And now Paul was in Nigeria, Italy, Rome. And somehow, some way, what was happening in the village in Ghana, which was now Corinthian, was being reported to Paul. There was no GSM, there was no mobile phone, there was nothing like that. So that means that the person must have traveled either by sea or by land to be able to carry the message of what was happening in Greece, in Corinth, all the way just to tell Paul. So we would never have had this 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 if not for the person that went to go and report what was happening in that church. So a loyal person does not abhor or does not withhold information. Oh, you have to say it out. When you see wrong thing, the right thing for you to do is that your loyalty shifts from that person to an higher authority and you report this and this and this is what is going on. Amen.
Amen.
Why is this important? Because it will save the church. Recently, one of our teenagers was reported to me that, and somebody said, oh, Pastor, this boy is going on the path of Yahoo Yahoo. Then another sister was reported to me, teenager, that this one now, she's going now with the wrong boys and prostituting herself. So by that information, we swung into action. And I was able to ascertain to a major degree that was true. Now, thereby helping me to make an important decision to help this young one not to go astray. But for that, how many places can I know? How many places can I be at the same time? Pastor cannot be everywhere. Paul was in Rome and something was happening in Corinth. But loyal people help to build things by not withholding information. When you withhold information, you are actually helping the devil to gain ground. Now, one of the implications of exposing wrongdoer is that you are going to pay the price of incurring hatred. Genesis chapter 37 verse 2 says, this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brother, the son of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. He reported them. And you know that's what they sold him to slavery. But eventually what happened? They all served him. You see, loyalty can only promote you, it cannot demote you. Even though you may
you may incur people's hatred. You may incur people's say, oh, you are a babble, you are a gossiper, you are this and that. Eventually, you will be promoted. Because God gives grace to the humble. If you read verse 3, Paul said, and Jacob loved Joseph and made him a coat of many colors. If Jacob loved Joseph, why? Because Joseph was a faithful person. It is those who are faithful that earn the coat of many colors. Amen.
Amen.
Number 2, loyalty is incompatible with murmuring. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. King James Version says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. One of the meaning of murmuring is crackling fire. If you have ever set a bush ablaze before, or if you ever set a bush ablaze, you realize that you start hearing, at the point you start hearing some sound from the bush. Different sound from the forest because of the fire. You see, now that sound is a murmuring sound. To murmur means to speak with undertone voice and not to speak loudly. Now, what you must know that even God hates murmurers. That is why in Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 to 4, when the people murmured against Moses, in verse 11, the Bible says that, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be, the people that believe, all the signs which I have shown among them? And by the time you read the next Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, look at what happened. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 also says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So murmuring is to speak with undertone. And how does that mean? What do I mean by that? So that something may be going on in church. You have heard. Before you know it, you are rather going from one member's house to the other to complain about the thing, but you will never speak to the authority figure in charge. You see, one of the ways to overcome murmuring is to ask questions and seek clarification. There are times that you will never understand why some things are done the way they are done. And there are a lot of behind the scenes that you do not know. But rather than calling those who may not be able to give the right answers, or asking questions in a scoffing manner, thereby trying to cause confusion. So they happen for church now. No, that's not a way to ask questions. You go to the right authority and find that this decision you have made, why is it like this? What happened? Because I seem not to see the reason for this decision. But I have come to ask clarification. But somebody may actually say that, oh, if I go ask questions, they will say I'm disloyal. In fact, one of the ways to overcome murmuring, I always like people who ask questions. I always like people who seek clarification. The decision we took recently in church with respect to suspending those who err. Some people were saying, why? You see, then you must know that as a pastor, for this church to still be in existence, I have fought disloyalty and disloyalty through the years. I was sharing with some people last Sunday when we used to have International Sunday at the early stage of this church. And we saw that there were a group of people in the Yoruba group. When they are realizing, their reality seems to be more lively. But oftentimes, I began to observe waywardness in this carcass of people who say they are having Riaza. So I began to investigate. And thank God for a loyal person who said that I'm suspecting something may be going on in this group. And then by the time we investigated, one of the married men there was actually having an affair with another person there. And we have to confront it. You see, Satan wants us to have a church that is polluted, a church that is corrupted, a church that the altar is full of evil, having the form of godliness but denying the truth thereof. Hey! Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Are you still here?
Are you still here?
There was a time when I was fighting disloyalty.
one of the brothers who was taking care of our children those days. After you two was challenged that this, we cannot allow an immoral person angle our children. Is that to leave? And he said, when he's leaving the church, he will carry all the children along. So he began to move from one member's house to the other. One member's house to the other. What was my offense? My offense was that I stood my ground that this type of lifestyle cannot flourish in this place. You see, and by the time I came to church one day, he has gone with some people and never told me, now you see, you are connecting people too much. And 2 Sundays later, another one came to me and said, oh pastor, I'm not receiving from you anymore.
Hey.
I'm not receiving from you. And you have said that if I'm not receiving from somebody, the person you can, it's better you leave the place. So I'm also leaving this church now. Hey. The devil is fighting back. I said, no problem. So I go to church that Sunday with open roof. A church that have grown so much, we were like 15 people left in the church. Because you see, this once began to spread venom, and the people they were talking to, none of them ever came to me to even seek clarification. Some just followed. But it's been so many years today. We are still here, standing strong. Because when you build on the sand, it will not stand the test of time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ask anyone, are you a murmurer? Now, signs of disloyalty. Number one, a person who disappoints you in times of pressure or crisis. Acts chapter 15, verse 37 to 38. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul had traveled with Mark, and when they got to the place, they could not preach. The service could not start. And after about some weeks, Mark said, I'm going back. This is not what I prepared for in the ministry. You see, crises actually reveal contents. Always remember. Crisis reveals what?
Content.
The challenges of coronavirus has revealed content. Now I know those who are faithful in the church. If not for this season, you will not have known those who are not faithful. Because when everything was okay, we are all singing Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the Lord. But now, things have changed. Crisis reveal content. The real you has come out. It's easier to praise God when you have money. But now when you fast and pray and breakthrough is not coming, will you still pray? Will you still serve Him? When you pray for miracle and instead of miracle coming, it's like more trouble is coming. Will you still serve Him? You see, so you must know that a person who disappoints you in times of pressure or crisis is not. It's a very bad sign that the person is a disloyal person. You should always watch out for them. Today, recently I was telling my wife, when I saw, I remember something, our pastor, I asked, why am I so giving to this guy? It's like I was spoiling him at the point. But I remember I said to myself that, this guy, when I was in crisis, inside one bush, he was with me. He would be going around looking for, we were going around from the forest looking for vegetables. That was Pastor Gabriel. And we would drive a bus that the bus, once you don't speed at a certain pace, the bus, when it's trying to climb in, will come back by itself. No, you don't know gear can. I'm trying to sit down. So I said to myself, this guy has been with me through the years. So today, why shouldn't I also be loyal to him? Somebody who will not forsake you when it's not okay. But there are those, if you don't pay 1 month's salary, they can even report it to EFCC.
Yes.
There are people, employers of labor, if you are an employer, watch out for those that when you don't pay in 1 month, they say, I come late to work because there is no transportation.
What?
Forgive. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
The second sign of disloyalty, a person who disappoints you when they are under pressure. Proverbs 25, verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken teeth and a foot out of joint. Always watch out for the reaction of people around you. See, signs. I'm teaching about signs, though. What am I teaching?
Signs.
said, what am I talking about? I said, what am I talking about? He said, signs reveal what is inside. When you see that there's blister in your mouth, it's telling you that something has been going on the inside. That is why doctors watch out for signs. When you go to a doctor, they will look at your eyes, look at your tongue. Some will even ask you to go and bring your poo-poo. Your poo-poo can reveal something hidden inside you. Some will ask you to go and bring your wee-wee. Your wee-wee can tell what is going on the inside. There are signs. If your wee-wee is attracting ants, it's a sign that something bad is happening. May your wee-wee never attract ants.
Yeah.
So when you say someone who is disappointing you, when they are not under pressure, you are now stealing because you say you don't have money. Stealing offering. Stealing that. Now there is your salary is not coming the way you are supposed to come. Now you are saying that's why you don't pay tithe. No, it's not this season that is not making you to pay tithe. You have actually been an unfaithful Christian. Now this season is just amplifying what has been inside of you. It's been there. Because my husband did not cook for me, that's why I'm going to have extramarital affair. No, you've always wanted to have extramarital affair. It's been there. Amen.
Amen.
Number three, a person with moral weakness is a sign. Say with me, it's a sign.
It's a sign.
1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 2, NLT. Treat the older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sister. Amen. A leader with moral weakness, a person with moral weakness, always wait for those who say that, I am in this relationship today. Next thing, they have broken that relationship, they are in another one. They have broken that one, they are in another one. Or those who say, you have slept with this one, you have slept with this one, you have slept with that one. Moral weakness is a very bad sign.
Yes.
Someone with a moral weakness is a sign that you are a disloyal person. There is, because it will... You are not able to bring your body under control, and you are not able to express your loyalty to Christ when he said, flee all from all appearance of evil. Flee fornication. And you are fornicating. So if you will not fear God, is it pastor you want to fear? Is it man you want to fear? Hallelujah. I remember at a point in our church, we used to have brothers became scarce. Maybe we should have called ourselves Royal Women International. You come to church on Sunday, only sisters and mothers are in the church. The brothers will come 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they have disappeared.
Hey.
So we began to pray, no, why is it that men are not staying in the church?
Right.
Men are not staying. Well, are we going to be a church of women alone? They're not knowing that there was one sister in the church. Only
one sister.
Who has been baptizing the brothers with the baptism of fornication. And so when the brothers come to church, and maybe after 1 week, she will then go and do visitation. From the place of visitation, she will seduce. And when the first ever come and say that a member of the church has come to seduce, and she has slept with the person, out of guilty conscience, those one will not return back to the church. Hey!
Hey! Merci.
Merci, Lord.
Merci.
I said, merci.
Merci.
But thank God for today, it has changed. Number four, a person with financial weakness. John chapter 12 verse 6. This said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. A person with a financial weakness will always end up, if he doesn't correct it, he or she doesn't, will end up becoming a disloyal person. Judas was a thief, so it was easy for him to betray Jesus for more money. Look at our country, Nigeria. No road. Why do you think that? Because the disloyal leaders have financial weakness. I saw them this recently. Doctors are crying now that they are not being paid, no PPE, but in that same era, they are able to buy jeep of over 50 million naira per jeep for over 300 and something thousand as of assembly members.
Hey.
50 million worth of jeep for over 300, and yet no China built hospital 10,000 capacity hospital in 10 days. Our country has not been able to build any hospital or refurbish the old one since COVID-19 started, and yet we are able to buy jeep. Now the money they allocate to refurbish, to renovate, not build, renovate our National Assembly is more than the money for road, to build road for the entire country.
Imagine.
Hey, how can such a country develop? When you are renovating a building, and there are, so the building is now world class, but the road now are bad. Mercy. So, moral weakness. By the grace of God, I've been a pastor of this church for several years. And I'm here before a lot of. I can say boldly that I have never stolen 50 kobo from the account of the church. I have never taken the tithe of the church and convert any on any occasion to my personal use. Never, by the grace of God. I have never asked any contractor in church to add 50 kobo. 50 kobo. Or inflate anything up. By the grace of God, never. Because the moral, financial weakness will make you turn. That is why they are prostitutes. Prostitutes are those who are selling their body for financial. So to be a prostitute, you must first have the love of money. You must first be able to love, to spend more than you are earning. Now you want you and you are not ready to work. Hey! The last one. A Christian who is worldly. What's the first one again? Signs of disloyalty. The first one again is what? Oh, pick up your note. So you are at home, you are not writing. Sister, write. No, I can say some of you are not writing at all. Come on, pick up your pen and write. Chapel Shepherd, ensure that people are taking notes. You write when I'm preaching, you write, you take notes. We are in church. Your house is a church now. Take note. Open your Bible. Who is not writing there? Hey, Mrs. Anoru, are you writing? Amomi Dominion, are you writing? Check somebody, take Munganila Moles notes. Is she writing there? Mommy P, are you writing? Sister Faith, are you writing? I all of you, right? I want you to be right. Hey, I can see you supernaturally. Amen. Mommy Rocky, I can see you are not writing. Where's your note? Right. Mommy Rocky, yes, I'm talking to you. Right now. Pick your note and write. Right. I said, this is technology. I'm using iPhone. Like I have eyes. Yes, I can see you. And those of you who are watching online too, write. Amen. Amen. How many points do we have?
Four.
The first one is what?
The person who is appointing time of pressure of Christ.
The second point is what?
The person will disappoint you when
they
are under
pressure. The third one is what?
The person with moral weakness.
The fourth one?
The person with financial weakness.
The last one, a Christian who is worldly. Look at the word, a Christian who is worldly. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, NLT says, Demas has deserted me because he loved the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Amen. You see, when you see a Christian who loves worldly music, is a very bad sign. A Christian who loves worldly music cannot tell me that you have a prayer life. One of the things that worldly songs, perverted videos, you love watching perverted videos, perverted comedies. Is that these are things that kill your spirituality. You cannot serve two masters. The moment these worldly songs, how can you be singing Azonto, and you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Now, you are born again, but your phone is not born again. What kind of Christianity is that? Are you still here? No, I said, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
I said, are you still here? Tap your neighbor. I said, are you still here? And now let me say this. I have had parents complain about their children now being worldly. But one of the signs for you to know that your child is going to be worldly and give you a problem is that if those children love to play worldly song, it's a small sign. It's always appearing insignificant. Your child is a Christian, but your child is playing worldly music at home and they're looking the other way. When that child turns to a drunkard, don't go and meet your pastor. When that child turns turns to a prostitute, don't go and meet your pastor. When that child turns to a Niger bed syndrome, or turns to what? A Baba Jebu servant, or turns to a cultist, or turns to something else, don't complain, because when that child was playing worldly music, which attracts the demon that would then give him power to do other things, you were just saying it's just a song. Every song has a spirit. Now your child is now addicted to a drug. You are complaining. But the person that is listening to is also a drug addict. So the spirit of drug addiction has flowed into it. Music has power. So anytime Saul is possessed, David plays a song and it drives out the evil spirit. So a spiritual song drives out evil spirit. A worldly song attracts evil spirit. So always watch out for those who love God this song. You see that they are into drugs, masturbation, fornication, immorality, drunkard. Say what? Even you, show me any Christian who enjoys worldly songs, who enjoy perverted fames, and I will show you a Christian who is not spiritual. It always works out that way. Oh, you see your child wearing miniskirts. Or exposing something that is best. I say he's just playing new fashion. Or you are even buying it. Now the child that is having more than one boyfriend, you are complaining. You see, then how do we know whether your child is going to be a fornicator? Is that what the kind of dress or dressing he or she likes to wear? The moment your child wants to dress in a certain provocative or seductive way, is a sign of what is going on the inside, and you're not seeing. But when the child wears the thing, you say, oh, it's just one of those things. It's normal. It's looking sexy. A child said, maybe my daddy is the one that will even buy me the short skirt so that I can look sexy. Hey, merci.
Merci.
Now they are having sex with Miss Sexy, and you are complaining. Some of you even know what they are doing, just that don't bring pregnancy here.
Hey.
May you not be disgraced.
Amen.
So a Christian who is worldly is a sign. That's why you must expose them. That's why when you see all the signs, then practice the principle of loyalty. When you see your fellow Christian playing worldly song, report such a person. And one of the ways you always know a Christian, let me say this, if, like a sign for instance, if I want to know good marriage, ask the couple simple question. Is a sign. Like always, this one will always reveal whether a marriage is good or not. Ask them, when was the last time you people ate together? Or what do you do when your husband is eating? Do you sit by your husband when he's eating? Or ask the person, what's the passcode to your husband's phone?
Hey.
If the wife does not know the passcode to the husband, and the husband does not know the passcode to the wife, they already know that something bad is happening in that marriage. It looks small. The passcode of their phone. And always be wary of those who are magnetic to their phone. Their phone cannot stay. Even when you want to make call, they are always behind you trying to look at it. When I make the call and give it to me, I always know those who are doing evil by the way they handle their phone. Because some, when you see their phone is a shadow, they cannot leave it for 1 minute. And no, in fact, they will encrypt it with different kind of. Even when you open the phone, there are still folders in the phone that are encrypted. I say it's privacy. My wife must not know. Charlie, why shouldn't your wife know? If your hands are clean, your wife will know your passcode. If your hands are clean, your husband will know your passcode. All these faces is called public display of affection, PDA. It's not the real thing. The real thing is that when there is writing, it's like people, husband, not some of you, if you die today, it's only the bank that will even eat your money. Your wife don't even know all the bank. Your husband don't even know where you kept all the money. Hey! Ask your neighbor, are you like that?
No, I
said, ask your neighbor, are you like that?
Are you like that?
I said, what's your passcode? What's your passcode? Oh, ask your neighbor, what's your passcode? He said, don't tell your neighbor your passcode now, boy. Hallelujah. But there are signs. There are signs. There are signs. You say somebody say, you are in. You know, I'm always, there are questions that things on this side, worldliness. When you ask, this is personal. I asked somebody one question one day. I said, it's personal. Anybody that you ask, don't ask where was the last. No, there are same questions that should be public. I always say it's personal. Once you hear that thing, you should always trigger something in your mind. Because as a leader or as a father, you ask your son about what did you do in school today, and say that is personal. It's personal. What are you doing close in school? That is personal. Why should such a thing be personal? Unless there is more to it. And when you investigate, there will be more to it. I pray that in this season we will stand the test of time.
Amen.
I pray that the spirit of... You see, this teaching is not the one that will make you fall under the anointing, but it's one that will empower you to fight the devil. And as you go forth today, every spirit of murmuring, every spirit of disloyalty around us is being over in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every wrongdoer around you, don't cover them. Don't cover them. Now let me say this before we close. We need to walk on the path of loyalty in this season. Every one of you are hearing me, and those of you who are here. I sent a video to our group this week. 2-year-old boy and 5-year, or 5-year-old, or 2-year-old, or 5-year-old, or 7-year-old, who killed a 1-year-old after they raped the girl, and they threw the 1-year-old inside a pit toilet. Why? Because now the devil is on the move. But it's my prayer for you, as you begin to walk in the spirit of loyalty, every agenda of the enemy concerning you will not succeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The cure for disloyalty is loyalty. Do not give room to perfidy in your life, and you will never be a Judas.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Put your hand together for Jesus. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Stand to your feet. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. This is all I really want to do. This is all I really want to do. To be pleasing you, Lord. To be pleasing you. Oh, pleasing you. This is all I really want to do. This is all I really want to. Let's sing all that. To be pleasing you. To be pleasing you. Pleasing you. Pleasing you. This is all. This is all I really want to do. To be pleasing you, to be pleasing you, oh, pleasing you. Ah, this is all I really want to. You know, when I spoke about marriage, I believe that there is someone watching me right now. I have a witness in my spirit. You are no longer loyal to your marriage. Both of you are keeping secrets. It's a bad sign. You don't eat together anymore. You don't pray together anymore. You don't save together anymore. The only thing perhaps keeping you right now is the presence of the children. But today, God wants to restore that marriage. Have a meeting together. Disloyalty is of the devil. Get rid of that devil. Live an open life. Live a transparent life. Today, do away with every element of worldliness. Cast out those worldly songs. Delete those pornography from your devices. Delete those worldly music from your phones. And tell yourself, Lord, I will be loyal to you forevermore. Perhaps this is what the devil is using against your prosperity. Perhaps this is what the devil is using against your health. But as you repent today, victory is yours.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you want to be born again, before I pray for you, I want to just place your hand on your chest while you say these words after me. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I come to you this morning,
just as I am.
I confess that I'm a sinner in need of your salvation. Today, Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that you came into this world, that you died for my sins, and you rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Wash all my sins away with your precious blood, and please write my name
in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for everyone who have prayed the prayer of salvation. I thank you because all things are becoming new. I pray for those ones that they will be remain rooted and grounded in your vineyard. May you be strengthened as you serve the Lord. Now I pray for everyone here today. Every signs of disloyalty that you might have found that is existing in your life. Receive grace of God to deal with it today.
Amen.
Receive the grace of God to overcome every weakness. May your life be strengthened. May the spirit of loyalty be yours. May you rise and remain loyal to God. In this difficult season, challenging season, may you remain loyal to the cause of the gospel. May you remain a faithful Christian. Oh Father, I pray that this one will be strengthened with might by your spirit in their inner man. You will not backslide. Thank you for relationships that have been restored. Thank you because the gate of hell will not prevail against us. Our church will not be divided, but will remain united. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Put your hand together for Jesus. Now you may please be seated. Before we close, I want to quickly make one or two announcements. For those of you who are hearing me and watching me from every center right now, I trust the Lord that you have been greatly blessed today. Amen. Right now, I'm going to be taking another offering. Now, I told you we are going to be starting our building project. The good news is that we were able to buy 200 set of blocks this past week. Put your hands together for Jesus. So I told you each block is 200 naira. Each block is 200 naira. And I want you to seize this as an opportunity to support and build for the Lord. As the chapel leaders will begin to talk to you more after this broadcast about giving to support the house of the Lord. I have given every chapel a target to meet up with, because we must build for the Lord. As the devil doesn't want us to be, but we must build. And I want you to know that when this season is over, one of the things you will remember is that in the midst of the pandemic, you built a church for God. You built a house of the Lord. So I want you to give your block offering. Your block offering. Your offering in this season is helping to build the church. The devil does not want us to build. Rather than closing down the church, we are building for the Lord in the name of Jesus. So give a block offering. You can give 1,000 naira for 5 blocks. We are targeting 2,000 blocks for a start. It's not going to go much, but for a start. And when we hit 2,000 blocks, I will let you know. We are targeting 2,000 blocks. So I want you this morning. Now, we are the 6 inches are here. That is the one that is 200. The other 90 is 230 naira. If you are watching from any country, I'm talking about Nigerian naira. So you can divide it by 369 or 400 to get it, to get what I'm talking about. All right. So one block is less than a dollar. It's less than a dollar. So if you are watching from outside Nigeria, you can also give. And I think that we are going to display our PayPal account, but we are going to see how we can. But you can give, you can transfer to the account of the judge using the sort code. So technical team, please always let's try and get our sort code for those who want to begin to transfer money internationally. You can do Western Union transfer. You can do MoneyGram. There are Wave offering. You can do a Wave. You can now pay on Wave and the rest. But support, there is no limit to give. We are set dollars now. We accept dollar now, we accept naira, we accept dollars. So support the work of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so I want to give right now your block offering. Alright, give your block offering and also give your offering and your tithe right now. In case you didn't give your tithe the other time, you want to give your tithe and your offering. And give to support the work of the Lord. Amen. Now let us pray. Father, I pray for everyone who is joining to build your house in this season, that you build a house for them.
Amen.
Supernaturally build a house for them.
Amen.
Lord, as we build, whatever a man sows, he will reap. As we buy blocks for your house, build a house for everyone.
Amen.
Now I pray for every tither and every offering giver. Bless your people, Lord.
Amen.
Strengthen their hand, Lord. Keep feeding them. Keep prospering them. Keep providing material things for them. Meet their every need. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, as you keep giving, the Lord will going to strengthen you greatly. Let those offerings be taken right now. Let those offerings be taken right now. And whilst we are taking the offering, don't put it back now. Take your block. You can transfer online 5 blocks and put your name there so that we can actually allocate. When you are paying tithes, put it there, tithe. Because we have a record for tithing. We have now a record for building. Alright, so if you don't indicate that this is building offering, we will just put it in the general offering. So I want to please put it there, block offering, block, 2 block, 3 block, put it there. So that when our accounting people see that, that they can put it in the building project. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you greatly in Jesus' name. Can we stand on our feet everywhere we are as we share the grace in fellowship? Ask your neighbor, are you a loyal person?
Are you a loyal person?
Say, never be disloyal. Say, never walk in disloyalty. See, there are 5 signs of disloyalty that have been shared today. Take them seriously. Say, do not murmur. Ask questions. Seek clarification. Don't be worldly. Don't be a worldly Christian. What are the other ones? Remain faithful when you are under pressure. Don't forsake when another is under pressure. And the Lord will strengthen you. And now, my neighbor, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Surely His goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives. And we are dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Our royal profession of faith, I'm a royal, I enjoy the best. I'm a child of the King. I can never be defeated. Lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. It's my year of laughter. My joy knows no bound. Hallelujah. I remain victorious. Hallelujah. 2020, the Lord will make you laugh. And all thy years shall rejoice. So the Lord will make you laugh. I'm royally graced. I'm above only. Good morning to you all and happy Sunday. Shake your neighbor and say happy Sunday to you. Hallelujah.